Our gospel lesson comes from Luke's gospel. It's the gospel text assigned for today. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answered from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, you will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" May God add understanding to the reading of that word. In your name, we humbly pray. The text for today comes from that very first verse of that gospel lesson. After Jesus finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray." There comes a time in everyone's life when we do not feel like praying. We simply don't know what to say. Our understanding of God has been turned completely upside down. We feel empty. This happened to me in the late winter months of 2006. I had just moved to Peoria to become the senior minister of First Federated Church. My wife was the executive presbyter here and had encouraged me to find a church that was closer to my parents, because I'm an only child and they were quite ill. She had been looking in on them frequently. My first day as senior minister was February 1st. When I went to see my folks, they were in much worse shape than I had been given to believe, at least by them. I remember that on good days, I used to tease them that between the two of them, they made up 2/3 of one person. Most days, though, the two of them barely made up half a person. Shortly after moving to Peoria, we admitted my mother to a hospital. That weekend, Sue and I visited the various care centers in the Peoria area, knowing that if she was ever released from the hospital, that she could no longer live at home. On Sunday, February 19th, my third Sunday here, I visited her before coming to church. At that time, we only had one worship service. After supper that evening, I sat in a chair in our TV room, and I just had this inkling, this feeling that I needed to go make another visit to my mother. I learned long ago not to ignore these feelings. I spent 4 hours with her before returning home around 10 or 10:30 at night. Around 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone on my nightstand rang. I was told by the voice at the other end that Mrs. Crummell had taken a turn and that they had requested I come down. Now, having been an on-call chaplain for a number of years in Burlington, Iowa, I knew that whenever hospital staff call you in the middle of the night and tell you that someone has taken a turn, they have taken more than a turn. I called my father, went to his house and picked him up, and in silence we drove to St. Francis Hospital. My mother had passed from this reality into the next before we had arrived. We didn't stay long. There wasn't anything we could do. We signed papers, and then we went home. The next few days are kind of like a blur. I remember a few things, but not many. I remember there were calls to be made and arrangements. Toward the end of the week, on the day of my mother's visitation on a Friday, my father and I had agreed to go to his favorite restaurant for breakfast, Lum's on North University, where a great niece of his worked. When Dad did not show up for breakfast, I went ahead and ordered off the menu, thinking he was just running late. But when he did not answer the cell phone or the home phone or even my mother's phone, I began to realize the reality of the situation. After calling my wife, I drove to my parents' house, and I found my father had joined mother peacefully during the night. While I continued to function, I felt spiritually dry for about 6 months. I did not feel like praying. I felt empty. I did not want to pray. I may have been a little angry. My understanding of who God was and how this world works was turned completely upside down. I was entering into an arid space in my soul. Now, I am not the first to have had this experience. Mine only lasted about 6 months. But Mother Teresa's lasted 40 years. In a book which collected her journal and letters published after her death, Mother Teresa wrote about her own dryness of spirit. "I have no faith," she wrote in an undated letter. "I dare not utter the words and thoughts that crowd my heart and make me suffer untold agony." None of us are immune from this experience. Think of the situations in the families that have been touched just this summer. A high school graduate was driving home from Farmington, turning left into her driveway when she was rear-ended by a distracted driver trying to give his crying daughter in the baby seat a pacifier to soothe her. Two families' lives were changed forever. A young man intending to enroll in culinary school in the fall, suddenly finding some vocation for his life, goes out for a morning jog only to have a car pull up alongside him and shoot him 3 times in the chest. A member of the class of 2018 at Limestone Community High School is a passenger in a car that is going to stop by a makeshift memorial when suddenly the car is riddled with bullets, one of which penetrate and sever her spine, leaving her at best a paraplegic from the chest down. A phone call comes and additional medical tests need to be done. Maybe a biopsy needs to be taken. Previous tests are inconclusive. The list is endless. If you have not experienced a dryness of the soul, believe me, you will. You will experience a time when the Sunday school faith of your childhood suddenly seems irrelevant. Because, as I like to say, we have placed it in the deep freeze of life and it has become freezer burned. We simply quit growing spiritually. We may attend worship, but we do not attend education. Richard Foster, in his encyclopedic book on prayer, calls times such as these the prayer of the forsaken. In my early adulthood, one of the most influential spiritual guides in my life was C.S. Lewis. His Chronicles of Narnia opened new horizons for me. And in his other books, he frequently wrote about the dry experiences he had with prayer. To a sister, Penelope, he wrote, "I always tell people not to bother about feelings in their prayers, and above all, never to try to feel." Prayer is an act of the will, he wrote, not a feeling. Prayer, it is the act of prayer that God values, rather than the state of our emotions. It is the act of prayer being given to God that God desires. In times of spiritual doubt, we must remember that God is neither absent nor aloof, nor is God unconcerned or uncaring. As the old hymn says, God's eye is on the sparrow, and God cares for you and me. But like clouds in the sky overhead, sometimes the clouds, whether they be white or dark, clouds that consist of our trials and our tribulations, our joys and our sorrows, our concerns of life, they block out the blue skies of God's presence in our life. The blue sky of God's presence is still there. It's just that life gets in the way. In our gospel lesson, an unnamed disciple comes to Jesus and sees him praying in a certain place, a very common place, not a sanctuary or a hallowed ground. And when Jesus finished praying, this unnamed disciple says to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." And the prayer that Jesus gave was so simple, 38 words. When you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial." That's all. Prayer is not magical. You don't need to learn certain words and say them just right. Prayer is not some type of incantation that gets God's attention or puts God into action. We do not live in a Harry Potter world. But as I said, there are times in our own lives when we simply do not feel like praying. But then, as C.S. Lewis said, prayer is not about our feeling. Prayer is one of the five spiritual disciplines. It is a habit, like brushing your teeth. Prayer is a willful act. We will ourselves to do it, even when we do not feel like praying. And when we cannot find the words, that is when the spiritual offices of prayer become important to us, because they provide us with the words that we can use even when our words cannot be found within our own hearts. That is why I gave the children two prayer cards. They don't have to feel like praying. They just need to do it. And that is what the parable in today's gospel lesson is about, isn't it? Jesus followed his instruction on prayer with two parables. Suppose a friend comes to you in the middle of the night and asks for some bread because he had a surprise visitor come visit him, and he had nothing to serve the individual. Because of your persistence, your friend who is in bed will get up and give you that which you need. Or suppose your child asked you for something to eat. Would you give them a scorpion or a serpent? No. You would give them something to eat. And so if you, who are evil, selfish, know how to give good things to your children, why do you doubt the goodness of God. And then Jesus says, whenever you pray for the Holy Spirit, God will give the Holy Spirit to you. God will give you the strength, the courage, the tenacity to carry on when you can no longer carry on. Richard Rohr, a Roman Catholic Franciscan friar, ecumenist, and spiritual director, noted that prayer is not some type of transactional experience. It is not about changing God. We hear a lot about transactions and being transactional nowadays, but that has nothing to do with prayer. It is not we will do this and then God will do that. But rather, it is about changing us by opening our hearts and our minds and our bodies to be receptive to God's already and always presence in our lives. God is the blue sky who's already there. It is the clouds of life that get in the way. Prayer is not transactional. It is not about changing God. For God is good all the time, as the children learned in Vacation Bible School. Prayer is about changing us by opening our hearts and our minds and our bodies to be receptive to God's already and always presence in our lives. To God be the glory both now and forevermore. Amen.